I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The White House is getting softer on China, and that's clear for now for about the last month. I tend to think, though, that the administration wants to get past the next couple of years, which is our critical vulnerability on rare earths, for instance, also pharmaceuticals. And the administration wants to try to build American resilience in those and other areas, which are mentioned in the national security strategy. But the point is that the administration needs to speak clearly about China, because China talks about going to war all the time. It's fast preparing for it. And the president of the United States has an obligation to talk to the American people about how dangerous this moment is. So yeah, I would like to see some language there. A little Ronald Reagan would be a good thing at this point.
Yeah, I think it would. I think it's probably good. That is Gordon Chang. And what he has to say about China, you have to listen. He is a renowned expert on China affairs and China-U.S. relations. And he says the current policy of the administration, the White House, Trump administration, appears to be going softer on China than he thinks it should be. Well, what is happening? We'll break it down for you as we move forward. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA, December 10, 2025. And reminding you, with Larry Connors USA, you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to know more at the end of our 2 hours than you did when we began. And part of it would deal with the China situation. Part of it would deal with your taxes. Are you a senior looking for a special discount that Trump had promised you? Or you're working in a weight industry and you're waiting on what happens with the no tax issue for your taxes? We'll have more of that as we move forward throughout this hour. I do want to take a moment to remind you there are a lot of people out there that will not have the best Christmas if they're not having enough food on the table. This is where you come in to help. We are working with the St. Louis County GOP to round up food, gather it at different locations, non-perishable items where you could drop off these food items, and then it will be distributed to those in need, those less fortunate. We have barrels set up outside all the Bartolini's locations, Chris's Pancake locations, Michael's Flooring, and we have one right outside our studio at News Talk STL. You could just bring a non-perishable item, maybe more than one would be a great idea, and place it in the barrel. And then it will be distributed to those who truly need it. And you will know in your heart and in your approach on Christmas Day, someone is having a better Christmas because of what you did. It's not something you want to go around bragging about, of course. But in your heart, you know that you did the right thing and someone's Christmas is going to be brighter. So consider contributing. Also take a moment to remind you that News Talk STL app, it can be used anywhere. We've got two great FM signals, but if you go outside the FCC restricted areas for our license, you can't listen to the radio station directly. But you can use the News Talk STL app. You get it at your app store absolutely free. And the app store is not a brick and mortar. I'll just want you to know that. For those not sure, the app store, you'll find a location for it on your phone. Whatever kind of phone you have, there will be an app store location. You'll find an app there to open it up, and then you find the News Talk STL. You download it absolutely free. Requires very little information from you. We just want you to have the opportunity to listen to our app and carry us wherever you go. Your phone then becomes a radio. You can listen to this program live from anywhere, anywhere. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video of Larry Connors USA. The live streaming video while we're on the air. That would be at News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Rumble, or Facebook. Everything goes up later as a podcast. If you can't listen or watch when we're actually on the air, you can pull up the podcast later. And when you do, please push share. Send it on to others. So let's get back to the issue with Gordon Chang and what is happening. We do know that the U.S. and China obviously have been navigating through numerous and complex economic and strategic relations. and recently focusing on trade agreements called the Phase One deal. This involves IP protection and increasing Chinese purchases and the ongoing negotiations under Trump's administration here in late 2025, which includes pledges from China to curb fentanyl coming in our market, open markets for U.S. agriculture, and rare earth exports. And then we have the Trade and Economic Pact of November 2025. Just last month, a major deal announced that China would stop the flow of fentanyl, and they would end controlling rare earth exports, and they would open China's market for U.S. soybeans and agriculture, and they would cease retaliation against U.S. semiconductor firms. All of these are good. But there's a policy that's been announced from the White House that the guiding policy of what we will be doing going forward. And here's where Gordon Chain says, I find it not only lacking, but maybe bowing to the Chinese.
National security strategy doesn't specifically name China as an adversary or an enemy, and that's a mistake, especially because the Communist Party has specifically named the U.S. as its enemy. And, you know, China's not the only threat, but it's the only threat that of great concern, because the other threats, Russia, Iran, North Korea, Venezuela, wouldn't be threats if they didn't have China's backing. But this is a great national security strategy nonetheless, and the reason is because China is mentioned indirectly throughout this document, and it's clear that the Trump administration is opposed to what China is doing. So, for instance, towards the end of this national security strategy, there's a paragraph that says, look, there's a hostile foreign power that's trying to close off the South China Sea or impose tolls, and both of those actions would be unacceptable, and we will not permit that. Well, the only power that fits that description is China, and there are many other examples throughout the national security strategy like that. So it's clear that the Trump administration has got the right strategy. It just won't name it in public.
And why not? Why not? Call China out. Well, Trump is doing a balancing act. We're trying to remain friendly, but we have to recognize our enemy is there. And Gordon Chain says, I think you just need to be firmer. And as he pointed out, in the strategic analysis, they claim that there is a government trying to take control of the South China area, South China Sea area. Well, we know it's China. Call it out. In the meantime, of course, we continue to watch what's going to happen dealing with Ukraine and Russia. Former CIA chief Dan Hoffman said, Russia really is losing its options, but are they going to acknowledge it?
Russia's not winning. They're not winning at all. Ukraine has courageously defended their homeland, and I would argue that Vladimir Putin is losing, and his own security guys, his military, his intelligence officers know that very well. That's why the CIA implemented a full-court press recruitment operation using videos that they aimed at Russian potential Russian sources and enjoyed, reportedly, a lot of really good recruitments as a result. Autocracies and dictatorships like Vladimir Putin's are brittle, and Vladimir Putin, I think, is at greater risk now than ever before in terms of his hold on the Kremlin.
And I know that we're recognizing that, but of course, Trump again is trying to find a way to get Ukraine and Russia to cease fire. But as Dan Hoffman pointed out, Russia is losing. They know they're losing, and Putin knows he's losing, but he will not want to acknowledge that because he's still trying to hold on to power in the Kremlin. There may be a break point coming. Could happen early this next year. We'll see. Speaking of next year, when are seniors going to be taxed on Social Security? Will you be able to get a deduction or just not pay taxes on Social Security as of January 1? That's a plan that Trump put out there. In fact, that's more than a plan. What about no taxes on tips, President Trump?
We're also putting thousands of dollars in the pockets of hardworking Pennsylvanians with the largest tax cuts in American history. That's no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security for our great seniors, our seniors. No tax.
That was Trump in Pennsylvania yesterday, and it all sounds good. You got a little praise and echoes and applause, but what actually is going to take place? Well, let's deal first with the overtime. Qualified overtime compensation applies to a portion of overtime pay, and they're looking at eligible employees being able to claim deduction on their federal tax return starting with the last year, 2025, and do so through 2028. So that would be effective as of January 1, if it's properly interpreted by me and what others I've seen. Obviously, you need to be consulting with a tax advisor if you're going to be pulling it off of your federal tax return. Do not rely on Larry Connors USA as your tax consultant. But that's what we're told, that qualified overtime compensation on overtime, a bonus or premium over regular wages under the Big Beautiful Bill's No Tax on Overtime would allow eligible employees to claim the deduction, on their federal tax returns starting with the tax year of 2025. So what about Social Security? Social Security benefits still taxed at current tax law and considered part of a recipient's taxable income. That's right, still carried that way. Now, the 2025 Tax Act, the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, did introduce a temporary deduction that will allow eligible beneficiaries to lower their overall taxable income and reduce their tax. So you're not going to see that happen regarding 2025 taxes. But what they have with this now, eligible seniors and spouses who are 65 or older can deduct up to $6,000 each from their taxable income years of 2025. You're able to deduct $6,000 each from your taxable income for this last year. Now, keep in mind, it only applies to single filers making less than $75,000 or couples making less than $150,000. And Trump is pointing out, look, we are continuing in this nation under my leadership to put Americans to work and create more jobs and high-paying jobs for Americans.
Before I entered office, 100% of all new net jobs were going to migrant workers. Think of that. 100% of new jobs were going to migrant. These are government numbers, by the way. These are not Trump numbers. These are government numbers. Because they say, well, did Trump come up with these numbers? No, I didn't come up. Migrant workers and illegal aliens got 100%. But since I took office, 100% of all net job creation has gone to American citizens. How about that?
That is great.
Now, how about that? Even I will give myself a hand. Now, think of it. 100% went to American citizens before 100% went to people that came into the country illegally. Again, many of them from prisons, many of them gang members, drug members, Tren de Aragua. More Americans are working today than at any time in the history of our country.
Many of the illegals in our nation have been working on fraud, and they've been stealing left and right, not just in Minnesota. That's been the biggest highlight recently. The Somalian neighborhood, the Somalian residents in Minnesota. And, of course, the question remains as to how much did the Democrats know and just ignore? They just didn't care to shut it down. I'm going to deal with that in more detail before we wrap up this hour. Trump was speaking in Pennsylvania, and there, of course, is where he took an opportunity to point out what we're doing not only in Pennsylvania, but all across the face of our nation.
We're right now drilling more oil than we've ever done ever before. Prices are way down. We just had four states. It was just reported that four states had $1.99 a gallon.
$1.99 a gallon. Now, there are a lot of reasons for the gas prices being down right now. One is supply is down. Demand, I should say, is down, and supply is high. And we're also switching over to our winter fuel, which is cheaper to produce. But again, you cannot say that Trump doesn't deserve credit for this. You could, but you don't have any way to back it up. And again, Trump is saying we've created already nearly 60,000 jobs and $100 billion in investment just for the state of Pennsylvania since he came into office. And Pennsylvania residents, they're applauding all of his actions.
President Trump has addressed a lot of my concerns, brought the price of gas down. No two ways about it.
When it comes to the economy, how would you grade his job performance?
Fantastic.
Confident that the tariff policies are working?
Yes.
How's the Trump economy treating you?
I think the tariff policies will come into effect and start to work because it's going to bring manufacturing jobs back to the U.S. It's going to help stable the middle class and rebuild the middle class.
Tourism is very important here, and there's a lot of people that work in the service industry. I am the owner of an Italian restaurant, and I'm glad that my employees will have the benefit of no tax on tips.
They're happy. So riddle me this. Where does a columnist for The Hill, and he's entitled to his opinion, claim that the Trump White House is crumbling before our very eyes, that Trump has not achieved anything, nothing? How can you say that? Even if you want to be just a little bit left, can you acknowledge, if you look at the gas pump, is that not something to take into account? You're benefiting by it. You leftists who claim Trump is doing nothing, you're benefiting, and yet at the same time, while you're taking your change and putting money away that you have now that you wouldn't have had under Biden, you want to claim that Trump is making your life more difficult. And for those who claim that Trump is not really doing anything, he's focused too much on his own personality and what he's going to do to win more votes at the midterm. You know how you win those votes at the midterm and elsewhere? You deliver for the American public. That doesn't mean that come 2026, if the Republicans don't get all they hope to win, that he's failing. It just means that the left noise box overshadowed what Trump has accomplished. And make no doubt about it, there will be many doing what they can to destroy any achievements. And when they do that, they're attacking not just Trump. They're attacking you and what you would be getting. Take it personal. I say take it personal. It's not just going after Trump. It's going after what would benefit you and your family. And they don't care. Same way they don't care about if you and your family are subject to more crime because of leftist blue city and state's attitudes. And then, of course, how they manipulate crime figures. I've got a guest coming up going to tell you how the crime waves are hiding right in plain sight and blue cities are responsible. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We know that crime is still existing in our nation. But, of course, for many, if it's not in their backyard, it doesn't bother them. Well, it does bother them. And, in fact, even if it's not in your backyard, it ends up affecting you. You might be in a great red state, but you've got a neighboring blue state, and they have been harboring criminals and allowing crime to happen and hiding it, covering it up best they can. Let's take a closer look at it. Kelly Stimson joins us from the Heritage Foundation. Kelly, glad to have you on board. We got Kelly. We might have had a drop off here. We'll try to make sure, get him back here. While we're reestablishing the connection with Kelly, some on the left have continued to make their arguments that rising crime rates are due to policies in red states. Well, as I said a moment ago, if rising crime is happening in red states, it is because blue states have not done their job of apprehending and prosecuting and stopping crime in their state. And when it comes to reporting figures to the FBI, they lie. They lie or they just ignore it. They don't want to be part of it. Kelly Stimson, we've got you reconnected.
Great. Great to be with you. Thanks. Great.
So give me a thumbnail sketch of what's been happening in blue cities when the FBI comes around and says, give us your latest crime stats.
Well, first off, we have a blue city murder problem. And so when a colleague of mine wrote a paper talking about the blue city murder problem, the left doesn't like sunlight. Because it's a terrible disinfectant for policies.
Yeah.
And so they ginned up basically a long op-ed, which they called a research paper, that talked about the red state murder problem. Of course, the problem with that is that when you remove the blue cities where all the homicides are happening from the red state index that they put together, it completely changes the rankings. And so violent crime is demographically and geographically concentrated in inner cities. Chicago, Detroit, Memphis, et cetera. And there are parts of Chicago, for example, that I talk about in my Rogue Prosecutor book that are more dangerous and have more homicides on an annual basis than the height of the surge in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's
Cully,
really a war zone.
Cully, say it ain't so. Come on. It's that bad in Chicago now?
Yeah, I hate to tell you, it's true. We looked at the numbers. In Iraq and Afghanistan, let's go through the numbers. When Kim Fox, the first Soros bought and paid for Rogue Prosecutor, was the DA, the state's attorney in Chicago, from 2018 to 2022, there was on average 660 murders per year. In Afghanistan, there was 435 combat deaths per year. And in Iraq, a little over 100 combat deaths per year. So, speak for themselves.
Well, you say these numbers are there, but they don't seem to show up on the FBI crime stats Is that because blue cities are just not reporting, or they're hiding, or they're altering and shifting and redefining, reclassifying crimes?
What's interesting is some, you know, you're required as a city to turn in your crime stats at the end of the year to the FBI. But as you know, and you remember, the last big crime tsunami was about 1992. It's been going down since then. It started peaking back up in 2016, 2017, when Soros started buying DAs. And don't buy the head fake that COVID caused crime to go up. Bugs, yeah, viruses don't make crime go up. Criminals make crime go up.
Right.
And some cities just decided we're just not going to turn in our crime stats. And so what we did is we realized that greed is, you know, that green-eyed monster that doth mock the meat it feeds upon, to quote Shakespeare. And so we went to the city's police department's crime stats. We knew they would keep them. Why? Because they have to justify their budget request the next year for the crime. So we knew they were going to be legit there, even though they weren't sending them to the feds. And that's where we got all the crime stats for our books and for our scholarship.
So they're putting out two different books. It sounds like typical fraud. You know, we're going to give you one book, a set of books, but we've got another set of books that have the actual figures.
Or we're just not going to give you our homework assignment. Yeah. We're going to do our books here, but we're just not going to turn into our homework assignment. So when the Biden administration said, oh, you know, violent crime is down and the FBI statistics prove it, well, when you just do eighth grade level reading and you look at the crime statistics, it didn't include L.A., New York, Chicago, and big cities. It's like, oh, well, okay. Besides that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? I mean, it just ignores the obvious thing that happened, which is they just didn't turn in their homework assignment. But again, the city police department still keep that data because they want their money.
Yeah, they've got to have it.
And
you
that's
said,
where we report on it.
Yeah, and so there they have to – it is so funny how they get caught in this vice. They want to claim we've gotten rid of crime, we're reducing it, when either they're relabeling it and re-identifying it or ignoring it, but then they have to go and get their budget approved. We got to show that we're doing the job. We need more help. They're caught in the vice.
Right, and look, we both, I'm sure we both agree, I've never met you, but I'm sure we can all agree that there's a lot of great people in law enforcement, great men and women serving their communities. There are 18,000 police departments across the country, over 3,200 elected sheriffs across the country, 2,300 elected DAs across the country. These are great folks putting their lives on the line for us, and that's great. The fact is, though, that leadership in several of those institutions across the country have been woke justice warriors. And so, for example, when we started criticizing my old office, the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, where I used to be a prosecutor in the local police department here in D.C., when Matt Graves, the Biden U.S. attorney, had a 67% decline to prosecute rate, what are we finding out? That the leadership in the Metropolitan Police Department started forcing their cops to manipulate the crime statistics to make it look like there was less crime because they hate those crime numbers. I mean, look, dead bodies are hard to hide, so you can't, you know, really fudge the numbers on murders. And they went way, way up in the Biden administration here in D.C. But you can fudge the other numbers and just water down cases. And that's why the House Oversight Committee has written Pam Smith, the chief of police, who just resigned inexplicably because they're like, look, you have a whistleblower here who works in your department who says you guys are fudging crime stats. And of course, why would they do that? They don't want people to know what the real crime is in the city.
Now, when they do this, that's another crime, of course, keep in mind. But also in the midst of this, if they even report a crime, have we not seen cases where they reclassify it so it doesn't seem that unless it's murder, you can't really bring the person back to life, but you can redefine some of the allegations and the charges against some of those charged.
Right. Right. What the allegation of the whistleblower is that when patrol officers actually interviewed witnesses and collected evidence, when they recommended certain charges in particular, they were being downgraded and ordered to be downgraded, and a false narrative was created to present this idea that they have a safe city. I'm reading from the letter that Comer sent the former chief of police, Pam Smith, dated August 25th, 2025. People can read it online. And so you never know where these investigations are going to go. But I will tell you this, when they call all of the MPD district commanders from all eight districts and put them under oath, You think they're going to walk the plank for her under oath?
No.
Absolutely not. They're going to tell the truth.
Well, your book, Rogue Prosecutors, points out this is so deep right now in our criminal justice system. How long will it turn it around where we actually have full law and order again?
Well, there is no criminal justice system in our country. There are systems. Like I was saying, 18,000 police departments, 3,000 plus sheriff's departments, 2,300 elected DAs spread across 143 counties. So there are systems all over the place, and I think a lot of them are doing fine. The problem is when you elect a rogue prosecutor and force them to not prosecute misdemeanors and water down felonies to misdemeanors and don't ask for cash bail and don't put violent 16 and 17 year old gang members in adult court and things like that, you're gonna have crime spike in those cities. But I think the pendulum is actually swinging back the right way because people are tired of that stuff. And it's been the liberal voters in those blue cities who suffer the brunt of it. And let's be frank, the blacks suffer the most brunt of dangerous communities because that's where a lot of the violent crime happens in communities of color. And so the very people that the lefty rogue prosecutors pretend to care the most about, black and brown communities, are the ones who are the victims of their failed social experiment.
Yeah, and they have to know it. Why would they continue to go along with get along with the Dem radicals?
They do it because, as we lay out in chapter one of our book, this comes from the prison abolitionist movement. They think prisons, this is their words, not mine, are modern day slave plantations.
Mm-hmm.
The entire criminal justice systems are racist. And therefore, sending anybody to prison, especially a person of color, is essentially putting them back on the plantation. And so they're ideologues. And when you consider that we have a massive crime problem in our country, we have more murders per year in our country than all of Canada, all of Europe, Japan, Australia, New Zealand combined. We have 6,000 murders that are unsolved every year and about 19,000 murders per year. We have 250,000 unsolved murders total in our country.
Yeah.
So we got a massive crime problem. We don't have a mass incarceration problem. We have an under-incarceration problem when you realize that 49% of murderers don't go to jail. 95% of rapists don't see a day in prison. 95% of armed robbers don't see a day in prison. I think they all should be in prison.
Well, Cully, you just delivered us a terrible Christmas present, but I appreciate your time. Cully Simpson with the Heritage Foundation, the book Rogue Prosecutors, wishing you a blessed Christmas. Thank you for your time.
You as well. Thank you.
You bet. Coming up, the Minnesota fraud case is not just involving what we've been hearing.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
We welcome Tom Shaw Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, shawrealtors.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. I just checked the events planned at Lit Cigar Lounge, so I'm planning a lot of time there. Top-of-the-line cigars, premium whiskey. Check out litstl.com and join me. Hey, and if we get hungry, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, just a few doors down. We can order from the menu, be at our table within minutes. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley and Lit Cigar Lounge, litstl.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My goal is to make sure that those going forward have much better tools, much more safeguards around programs to be clear that improve people's lives, that help, whether it's children with autism, whether it's childcare, whether it's housing, whether it's food, nutrition. And those things are absolutely paramount. And if folks are going to commit crimes here, thinking because our generous spirit and our programs that we have is going to give them some kind of cover, they are sadly mistaken.
Well, there he is, Minnesota fraud governor Walz, saying, now, hey, we're going to crack down on fraud. We're going to be looking at it. And he said, my plan and goal is to have more robust efforts to stop the fraud. No, it's not. Well, it might be now, only because you've been exposed. A minimum of $1 billion of fraud. And I say minimum, there are numbers now that are coming in could push it to $3, $4, maybe $5 billion of fraud just in the state of Minnesota. So Governor Walz issued an executive order directing state agencies to intensify efforts to detect, prevent, combat fraud against Minnesota government programs. Where in there do you say we will listen to whistleblowers when they blow the whistle? Because that's what 500 of your state employees have said they've been doing for the last 3-4 years on your watch, saying we're seeing this fraud. You need to be aware of it. We need to look at it closer. Now suddenly his eyes are open, but it's not to look at what he's done or not done. I'm looking at a statement from him, Governor Walz, saying, we have no tolerance for fraud in the state of Minnesota. But you do. You do, and you did. But he dare make that kind of statement. We have no tolerance for fraud in the state of Minnesota. Abusive taxpayer dollars takes resources away from people who need them most. If you commit fraud in Minnesota, you will be prosecuted. You will be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law. Here's where the laugh track starts. He said, we will continue to urge the legislature to take further action. This executive order gives our agencies additional tools to safeguard tax dollars. Why didn't you not do that even 2 years ago, even 4 years ago, when your employees are saying we have massive fraud, and a lot of it's centered in the Somalia community? Well, because he has a Congresswoman, Ilhan Omar, from there. And he relies on her support to win that community so he can remain as governor. And he's running again. My gosh, what would have happened if he'd called them out earlier? Well, they'd all be walking away from him. They're not going to vote for the man that's trying to take our fraudulent money and efforts away from us. The Walz administration advancing numerous proposals to strengthen program integrity, and it should start at the top with the governor. But it is no see, no hear, no speak, because it's not my fault. It's all the people running crazy out there. And to that extent, it's not even just the Somalis. The CEO of Major America said, it is not just a Somalian issue.
I think there are a lot of questions that need to be asked. Ilhan Omar passed the Meals Act in 2020, which brought about these free meals, and then promoted this entire program. We now hear from the New York Post today that of the 79 people that have been indicted on this $250 million free meal fraud, 60 of them live in her district. I want to know, what did Ilhan Omar know? When did she know it? What did Tim Walz know? When did he know it? What did Keith Ellison know? And when did he know it? I'm not interested in congressional investigations, Liz. I'm interested in U.S. attorney criminal investigations into Ilhan Omar, Tim Walz, and Keith Ellison, because we're not talking chump change. We're talking billions upon billions of dollars in fraud. And I want to also make this other point. We're talking about Somali fraud. It's not Somali fraud. I think this is Democrat fraud, because I know that people had to have known years ago what was going on, and they looked the other way because, quite frankly, they benefited from it either politically or financially.
Do you not doubt that that is true? That the Democrats were looking the other way or just letting it pass by because they were benefiting in some way, quid pro quo? And they allowed it to happen that way because they didn't want to mess up the game. There's so many different details of this fraud just inside Minnesota, the Department of Health and Services for that state, they had a Feeding Our Future child nutrition program. The nonprofit was supposed to feed thousands of children during the pandemic, but instead they now have learned, and in fact there have been convictions on it, of folks using that money to feed thousands of children for buying luxury items, holding massive parties. That did not go to the children. Do you think any one of those who took that money even thought one time about I'm taking food out of a child's mouth? So where were the other Democrats that saw it happening and they didn't step up and call it out? Well, some of them, they might have even been state employees. They were trying to blow the whistle. But the governor was ignoring them. And they say repeatedly we were ignored. In fact, we were chastised. We were basically the target of the governor's office to malign us, to censor us. They also had the housing stabilization program. This would help at-risk homeless individuals. We're told by the Democrats we need to take care of anyone, everyone, including our homeless. Well, that's great. You had a program. But more than $100 million was stolen just through fake claims for helping those on the streets that are homeless. Autism. They were manufacturing treatments for autism, and they were broadening the umbrella covering autism. Here's what it amounted to. They were stepping up of how many kids are suffering autism so we can put our money to work, and we'll need more money to cover it. When it wasn't going to go to the kids anyway. It was a fraud from the beginning. And some of those who now have been convicted and know this charge, they knew it because they were taking this money to help autistic children. They didn't do a damn thing to help those kids. They used it to buy fine clothing, vehicles, take special vacations. And they were reclassifying children. And we're talking about just inside the Somali community. They ended up classifying so many children as autistic just because the more numbers, the more money. Not to the children, but to me. And they had no problem with that. And of course, there are reports that some of this money went overseas to support groups such as ISIS, Al-Shabaab. No doubt it did. And no doubt Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and the Attorney General of Minnesota, Ellison, who's also Muslim, they were aware of this, and they, again, we don't want to rock the boat here. So they didn't. And I'm really waiting and anxious to see the documentation of how many times that they turned their back on something that should not have been ignored, that you could not ignore unless you're purposely wanting to look away. As the investigations move forward, and we're not talking about just carrying out investigating, we're talking about actually incarcerating and booking some of these people on federal charges and state charges and send them to jail. Several have already been convicted in the state of Minnesota. Others are awaiting trial. And now suddenly somebody turned a light on in the room, and all the cockroaches, they scatter into the dark again. But they're still there. Trump's White House has been trying to get Americans on better footing, attacking the fraud, stealing your tax dollars while improving your life. But you have to keep in mind, when Trump came back into office, he had to start by dealing with the mess Biden left behind.
Well, the president understands how people feel. That's why he ran for office to begin with. The message is very simple. We are trying to fix what Biden and the Democrats currently in Congress broke. They raised inflation to its highest level ever in this country, right, which stole from the American people. Wages were down, prices were up, pressure on both sides. And the president is trying to make them whole. He's trying to give them back what was lost and give them more. He's done that through tax cuts, through the big, beautiful bill over the summer. No tax tax on tips, no tax on overtime pay, right? No tax on Social Security, the things that he ran on. Democrats fought us every step of the way. And two, he's fighting to bring prices down, and we've been successful in a lot of areas. And there's still more work to be done. But the point is, Biden and the Democrats broke it. Republicans and President Trump are trying to fix it, and the Democrats are stopping us every step of the way in any way that we can.
Yeah, and that's what we need. It comes a little late, only because we didn't have authority to do it. If Trump had not been elected, every time I say that if, it frightens me to my core. All this stuff we have unveiled and in front of us now, the Somalia fraud in Minnesota, none of that would have been known, and all the other things that were taking place inside the Biden White House and also took place during the Obama White House to destroy not just Trump, but Americans and your way of life. They were so cavalier about it. They thought, we'll never get caught, so let's run rampant. And they did. They came in and caused mayhem and messing everywhere. But they really thought we'll never be caught. Thank goodness, by the grace of God, I will say, Trump got elected. And behind him, hopefully, will be J.D. Vance. You want to know how the left is so bent? CBS News has announced the morning host Tony Docopel will begin anchoring the CBS Evening News. That will start on the nightly broadcast of January 5, as the current co-anchors John Dickerson and Maurice Dubois are set to leave CBS News. CBS News Editor-in-Chief Barry Weiss said, "We live in a time in which people have lost trust in the media." He nailed that. Tony Docopel is the person to win it back. And I might be mispronouncing it, and I apologize. I haven't really heard it clearly from anyone as to how it should be pronounced. We'll get that when he comes on air. And he's already been doing the morning news, but I haven't been watching, have you? But Tony, according to the CBS News Editor-in-Chief Barry Weiss, says that's because Tony believes in old-school journalistic values, asking the hard questions, following the facts wherever they lead, holding power to account. Americans hungry for fairness will see that on display night after night. And Tony is what everyone wants in an evening news anchor. That's according to the CBS News anchor, news president. The CBS News president saying Tony will be authentic, compassionate, unafraid. And he connects instantly. Well, I haven't watched his work to know if any of that's true, but if he's going to meet to the standards that they were describing, why wouldn't you not want that? That actually, in my opinion, reflects the way I've spent my life in the business. And I did not retire. I got fired. Let's make it very clear. I got my ass booted out of the Channel 4 for charges that I could still contend were not right, but that's past. I'm just saying that, are we really going to get a return back to true, authentic news? If they misstep, then it's going to be very hard to restore any credibility. And we'll be watching. This new anchor is Jewish. And he made headlines last year for an exchange he had with a liberal darling. And he was questioning this liberal, saying, what is it that so particularly offends you about the existence of a Jewish state that is a Jewish safe place? Oh, no, 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 no. They don't like it. So now we're getting all these guys coming out condemning this new anchor because he's Jewish. In fact, a former MSNBC host says pro-Israel guy gets top job from new pro-Israel boss and new pro-Israel owner. Surprise! Well, MSNBC recently changed its name last month to MS Now. They're trying to remake themselves as well. But when you have lied to the public and you twisted facts and you've ignored real facts, you've cut your own grave. And we're shoving you into it. If Tony comes on board as the new anchor for CBS Evening News, he's got a lot to prove. He does. And one of it will be not remaining faithful to his faith, but remaining faithful to journalism. As a Christian, I never used a platform to promote Christianity. and no one knew my religion, nor should they. No one would know Tony's except the left want to call it out, saying if he's a Jew, he can't be fair. If you're a member of Hamas, maybe that's it. Maybe they should get a member of Hamas to anchor the MS Now news. They're not going to do it because they know the baggage it carries. I wish Tony good luck, but again, you misstep, you lie to the people one time, you hold stuff back that you should have pursued. There goes your opportunity. It's a very fragile glass to stand on. We'll see how it goes in the new year. As always, I thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. I appreciate you sharing the word with others and get them to listen. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.